Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Mem Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's Shiur at the lower part of Daf Mem Omid Beis. You will see a Mishnah. Zonov ho'egel she'eno maga'as la'arkoiv. The tail of a calf that doesn't reach the arkov. We will see that that's a reference to a particular joint in its hind leg. Omru chachomim kol marbis agolim kain. The way of development, of growth, of calves is such that their tails reach their arkoiv. Kol zman she'hein Magdilin heim nimtochos. The older they get, the longer their tail gets. Le'eza arkoiv omru, which joint is referred to? Rav Chanina ben Antignus oimer ba'arkoiv shebe'emtza hayerech. This is reference to a joint that is in the middle of the thigh. The Gemara at the top of Daf Mem Aleph says, Tona, we bring a Tanaic source, Kefetz ho'elyoin velo Kefetz ha'tachtoin. This is a type of phenomenon that's at the upper part. Rashi says, Kesher ho'elyoin hainu ar kuvosoi mokom chibur hashoik vayerech. The point at which the thigh connects with the next bone, the shok bone, v'lo kefetz ha'tachton samuch leparsois, and not a reference to the joint lower down near its hooves. The source goes on to tell us, ukenegdo begomol nikar, with regard to a camel, you can see it. It is bulging over there. So that the equivalent on a calf would be that same location where on a camel it happens to be bulging. The Mishnah, al elu mumin shochten es habachor, regarding these mumin that we have learned up till now, a firstborn male animal can be slaughtered outside the Beis Hamikdash and classified as a full-fledged baal mum, a blemish. Likewise, upsule hamukdoshim nifte alehem. Animals that were dedicated as sacrifices, if they have any of the above mentioned phenomena that we have been learning about till now in the Gemara, the Mishnais and the Gemara till this point. Well, since we're learning a Mishnah, so we're referring to those mumin mentioned in the Mishnais till now. You can, if it's something that was dedicated to be a sacrifice, redeem them and then use the money to buy an alternative sacrifice, and the redeemed animal you can slaughter and eat. The Gemara asks, this Mishnah seems to be redundant. Ha su lomali. What do I need this Mishnah for? Ha tana le resha. It has been stated already earlier. Al elu mumin shochten es habachor. Regarding these blemishes, one can slaughter the bechor. So the Gemara answers, Seifa, it's the Rihale. It's the latter part of this Mishnah that is necessary, namely, Psule Hamukdashim Nifdim Alehem. That animals other than a Bechor, besides the Bechor, that were dedicated as sacrifices can be redeemed. Well, the Gemara asks, do I really need this second section of the Mishnah? Ha Nami Pshita. This too would appear to be obvious. Mishchat Shachtinon. If I can slaughter a Bechor regarding, because of the presence of these blemishes, Mifrak Mibaya, do I need to be told that other kinds of sacrifices can be redeemed? the act of redemption would be less, we can call less dramatic, less drastic than the actual slaughter. Elo. So why do I need this particular Mishnah? So the Gemara answers, Aidi detona shloisha hoisif. Since we learned in a previous Mishnah that Ilo, who was an expert in Mumin, that he added three. The Omru Loi, and the Rabbanan responded to him and said, Loi Shomanu Elo Es Elu, that we have learned only the others that had been stated till that point, and not those that he added. The Katani the Osi the Yechido. And then after that, there were additional Mishnayos that featured Mumin, but were taught by individual rabbis that did not that didn't appear to be, we'll say, teachings done by the Rove. The Kososim law bekulhu, and then after those Mishnayos which featured Mumin taught by individual rabbis, this Mishnah appears and says, Al elu Mumin shochnim sebchor upsula mukdashim niftam aleihem, so as to say that with the exception of those Mumin that Elah added and were disagreed with by the Chachamim, besides those, even the other Mumin that were taught by individuals, in other words, names appeared along with those Mishnayos that individual Mumin were taught, those do receive the approval of the Mishnayos, as you can see in this Mishnah that says all of those additional Mumin that were taught by individuals are also considered Mumin. So that only with regard to the Mishnah on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, where Elah had added, we saw Galgal Eino Ogo Kishel Odoim, Piv Dormish Kishel Chazir, and Shinita Rov Hamedaber Shel Lashono, those were added by him, not necessarily accepted by the others. However, beyond that, the Mumin that were taught by individuals, rabbis, that has appeared in the subsequent Mishnayos, they are accepted. The Mishnah. Now we go to a new category. The Elu Shein Shochtem Aleihem. Regarding the following that the Mishnah will enumerate, we will not slaughter a Bechor. Lo b'mikdash, we won't slaughter it as a sacrifice. Lo b'medina, on the other hand, we won't view it as a something able to be slaughtered outside either. So it's something that we would call posel as a korban, but not completely a bamum, so as to allow the slaughter outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what are they? Chavarvor v'hamayim she'ein kvuim. We have seen in a previous Mishnah that these things, the chavarvor and mayim that are kvuim, are considered mumin. Kvuim means permanent. These, the chavarvor and the mayim here, are ein kvuim. The chutin hapnimios shenifgemu v'shenigmimu. The inner teeth, the molars, that were merely mutilated or leveled, but not uprooted. So, this phenomenon of nigmumu and nifgimu and nigmumu will render an animal a balmum if it affects its incisors as opposed to its molars. Ubal gorov, ubal yabeles, ubal chazozis. Gorov is a type of shchin. Shchin often is associated with a boil. A yabeles, a type of wart. and Baal Chazaz is another type of Shechin. Zokain, the Chole, Zokain, an aged animal, a sickly animal. A Mizuham is something that's putrid. Uveshenevda, Ba, Avera, or the animal was used as part of an act of sin, bestiality. Veshehemis, Es Ha'adam, an animal that killed a person. The Tumtum, Vandrogynous. Tumtum is an animal whose gender organs are covered. Androgynous is an animal that appears to have two gender organs, one of male and one of female. Veloi, loi b'mikdosh, velo b'mendina. As we said before, these situations will not allow the slaughter of them as a bechor in the Beis HaMikdash, nor to be slaughtered outside either. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, ein l'cha mum gadol mizeh. Rabbi Shmuel is referring to the androgynous, saying that it is a full-fledged baal mum. V'chachomim omim eino bechor, it's not a bechor, elo nigzaz v'ne'evad. And it's as far as the Chachamim are concerned, they go beyond Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel calls it a baal mum, which would enable it to be slaughtered, but not to be used in work nor for shearing. However, the Chachamim say it's not related at all. Even though it's a firstborn birth, it's an androgynous, and hence it can be shorn and it can be worked with. As Rashi says, according to the Chachamim, it's a bria b'fnei atzma. It's a separate entity. It's not a male, and it's not a suffolk male either. It's a separate entity. The Mishnah had said amongst the other kinds of mumin, a gorov is something that is not a full-fledged mum. It's not a full-fledged blemish. So the Gemara asks, the gorov lo, is the gorov not a full-fledged blemish? V'hoksiv gorov be'oraisa. And likewise, the point is that it says in the case of Mumin, it does say in the Torah Gorov, and likewise the Gemara asks, v'chazozis loi. In the Mishnah, a reference was made to Baal Chazozis is not a Mum. V'hoksiv yalefes b'oraisa. The Sanya, the word yalefes appears in the case of Mumin as well. And we have the appropriate psukim quoted on the inside margin of your Gemara. You can see these psukim referring to the Baal Mum, and Gorov is mentioned, Yalefes is mentioned, Desanya, Gorov ze Hacheres. Yalefes ze Zu Chazozes Hamitzris. Gorov is something that is like cheres. It's hard, like earthenware. So it's a type of hardness that developed on the animal. And yalefes is something that is called chazozes hamisris. Now, our Mishnah mentioned chazozes is not a full-fledged mum. Here, you see in this source, chazozes is defined as what the Torah says, yalefes, which is in the Parsha of Mumin. V'yoma reish lokish loma nikra shmo yalefes. Why is a chazozes called yalefes? Shimal alefes v'holeches ad yoyim hamisa. Yalefes means it's attached. It's attached to the animal until the day of its death. So we seem to have a contradiction. Our Mishnah refers to Gorov and Chazozis as not being full-fledged Mumin, and we have the Pasuk that makes reference to Gorov and Chazozis / Yalefes as, yes, being full-fledged Mumin. So the Gemara continues and says, Bishlamo Chazozes Achazozes Lo Kashya. As far as the seeming contradiction within Chazozes, there is no contradiction. Kan b'Chazozes Hamitzris, Kan b'Chazozes De'Almo. There are two different kinds of Chazozes. The full-fledged mum is called Chazozes Hamitzris. This is the type of boils that were brought on the Egyptians when the 10 plagues occurred. The Mishnah is called a reference to Chazozes Te'almo, a different type of boil. So as far as the seeming contradiction regarding boils of called Chazozes, we don't have any problem. Ela Gorov Agorov Kashya. But regarding Gorov, how it is classified, we still have a problem. The Gemara answers, Gorov Agorov Nami Loi Kashya. Notice we have a new geometric form. We have a crown marking. It is, you see it here in a couple lines later. In the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have written Tshuvos. These are answers. Liyashev stiro b'inyan gorov im hu mum oiloi. We're attempting here to resolve the issue of the gorov. Is it a mum or not? So the Gemara says there really is no problem. Ha belach, ha biyavish. It depends if it's of a wet nature or a dry nature. Lach itzi, yovish lo mitzi. The wet one, the damp one, the liquidy one, itzi heals. The yovish, the dry one, does not heal. The Gemara asks, the lach mitzi, is it so that the lach heals the hoksiv? The pasuk says, Yakho Hashem b'shchin mitzrayim uvatchorim uvegorov uvecheres asher loy suchal leherofe. So in this pasuk, we see a reference in the parsha of the Toichacha. This is the parsha of the Torah that deals with curses that would be visited upon those that don't keep the Torah. Umidichtiv uvecheres. In this pasuk, a reference is made to cheres. Cheres is something that's clearly a dry affliction. And in the same context, you find gorov. Hare gorov lach amur. So the gorov is something that's of a wet nature. Uksiv asher lo tuchal lehirofe. And the pasuk says one does not get better from it. One does not heal from that. So we see that you can't answer that only the yovesh is a mum. The lach also is a mum. Ela tlosa havu. So here the Gemara establishes that there are really three kinds of gorov. Dekra, the posuk in the context of mumin, yovesh bein mibifnim bein mibachutz. It is dry, both externally and internally. Demasnisin, the Mishnah here that says it's not a full-fledged mum, lach mibachutz umibifnim. It is wet, it's liquidy, inside and outside. De Mitzrayim, the posuk that made reference to the gorov that does not heal, yovesh mibifnim velach mibachutz. It's dry on the inside and liquidy on the outside. Dichtiv, the posuk says regarding Mitzrayim, vahi shchin ababuos poreach beodom. So the expression poreach and ababuos is something that's liquidy poreach, meaning fluttering or externally, outside. So that only the external part of this boil was liquidy, and the inside was dry. That's a description of the Mitzrayim shchin. So with all of this, we don't have any more contradictions regarding gorov either. As we see, there are separate, different kinds of gorov. Some heal, some don't. Those that don't, we would classify as a full-fledged mum. Those that do, make it simply pusel and not a baal mum. V'hazokeh v'achoyle v'amezuham. These were also mentioned in the Mishnah as being reasons for puseling an animal. However, classifying it as a baal mum. Mino hanimili, from where do we know that we don't slaughter them in the mikdash, that a zokein choyle mizuam we would not be able to offer as a sacrifice? Tetonu rabbonon, we have a Tanaic source. The pasuk says, when you bring a sacrifice, you bring it min hatzon, o min haksovim, oi min hoizim. In this pasuk, you see the word min, means from the tzon, meaning not all of them, but some of them. Some you don't bring, though. So these mi'utim, as we call them, these exclusionary terms, prat l'zokein u'l'choylu mezuam, we thereby exclude the zokein, the aged, the choylu, the infirmed, and the mezuam, the mo'us, the disgusting. Utsrichi, I need to a separate exclusion of each one, and I wouldn't have been able to learn one from the other. And you can see, in the next few lines, we will be dealing with this, as we call this a long point. This is the we're making a point that each one of these exclusionary points is necessary. The E and the long point is indicated by the Nun. You can see to the immediate right hand side of your Gemara text that's encircled with a descending dashed line indicating the length of this section. The Gemara goes on. The E Kosav Rachmona Chad, if the Torah had written just one exclusionary term, Limute Zokain, I would have thought to exclude the aged animal, the Lohadarbori. It doesn't get better. Avochoyle Dohadarbori, Emalo, an infirmed animal that gets better, so I would have thought that's not excluded. And you could bring it as a sacrifice. Inami, Limute Choyle, the La Hurche. Had I had just one exclusionary expression, I would have thought, okay, we'll exclude the infirmed because that's abnormal. Avo Zokain, Dahaine Urche, Emalo. But an aged animal, had I had one exclusionary term, I wouldn't have thought to exclude the aged. That's a normal course of events. Animals age. The E Kosav Rachmona Trey, and had the Torah written only two exclusionary expressions, so I would say Limute Hani the Krishi. I would say, okay, we'll exclude the aged and the infirmed. They are weak. Avol mezuham, something that is odoriferous, smelly, disgusting, the lo kochish, but that doesn't affect its strength. It's not weakened, a maloi. So I would have thought not to exclude it. Ve'i nami limute mezuham mishum demois. Had I excluded only the mezuham, I would say, well, that's because it's disgusting. Abolhani delomi isi emoloi. However, the zokain and chole that are not disgusting, I would have thought not to exclude them. Srichi, therefore, I need three exclusionary terms to exclude each one of these: the zokain, chole, and the mezuham. Vishnev do boyavero, an animal that was used in bestiality, is not fit. Mino hanimili, from where do we know this? The Tanur Rabbanan, we have the following Tanaic source. Min habehema, we have seen this type of pasuk before. The Vayikra Aleph, the Torah has psukim that exclude different animals as korbonos, but it says it in terms like as follows. We have the pasuk says min habehema, min habokor, and min hatzon. Each one of these are these are new exclusionary expressions to exclude what we will now learn about. Min habehema lahoitzi roivei avinirba. This will exclude as being fit as a sacrifice an animal that was used in bestiality. Either it was the animal, the male animal that came on a female human being, or it was a female animal that a person had relations with. Min habokar lahotzi es hanevad. This exclusionary expression, min means from, not all, from the bokar, exclusion is excluding that which was used in idolatry. Min hatzon lahotzi es hamukze. This excludes an animal that was set aside to be offered as a sacrifice to an idol. Umin hatzon. Here we have an additional vav in the word. That's lahotzi es hanogeach, to exclude the goring animal, an animal that killed a person. The Gemara asks, what do I need special psukim to exclude the rovea, the nirba, and the nogeach? Vahani b'nei katlo ninhu. These are animals that are executed by the court. And as such, it's obvious that you wouldn't slaughter them as a sacrifice. The Gemara answers, the case that the Torah is addressing is a case where the animal would not be sentenced to death because al pi ed echad or al pi habaylim. There was only one witness that could testify to these events, or it's the owner that said that this took place. So in such a case, the animal is not sentenced to death, but it cannot be used as a sacrifice. Continuing in the Gemara, the Mishnah mentioned the Tumtum Vandriginus. So Bishlamo Tumtum B'Mikdash Loi, I understand that a firstborn that happens to be a Tumtum cannot be brought as a sacrifice, as a Bechor sacrifice. Dilmo Nekevohi, it being that the genitals are covered, maybe it is a female animal, and as such, it's not a Bechor. A Bechor is a sacrifice brought only from firstborn male animals. B'medina loy, I understand the Mishnah teaching me that it's not slaughtered, the Tumtum is not slaughtered outside the Beis HaMikdash either. Dilma zohar hu v'les bo'muma. Maybe it's a male and it's unblemished. By the mere fact that its genitals are covered doesn't constitute a mum. Therefore, we can't do a slaughtering in or outside the Beis HaMikdash of a Tumtum. Ella androgynous. But with regard to the androgynous, which is in English referred to as a hermaphrodite, it appears as an animal with a dual gender system. Bishlamo b'mikdash loy dilmo nekevohi. I understand the opposition of slaughtering as a bechor sacrifice because maybe in truth it's a female. Avol b'medina, but as far as outside the Beis HaMikdash, why not slaughter it? Nihinami de Zohar, who granted, maybe you want to classify it as a male. Nevertheless, it has what appears to be female genitals. Tase nakvus shaloi choritz v'yishchot olei. Why not view the female aspect, which would appear to be a type of a choritz, is a ditch or a notch which would be characteristic of the female genital. Why not view that as a charitz and slaughter because of that? And that, namely, because that would be a mum. Omar Abaye, Omar Kro, the posuk that makes reference to a charitz. It says, O chorutz, O shavur. Chorutz dumya de shavur. Abaye feels that the pasuk is comparing the two, shavur and chorutz to shavur. Mas shavur b'mokum etzem. Shavur has to do with a break. So just like the term shavur is a term that is referring to a bone, so too Af chorutz b'mokom etzem. So too, the chorutz that we are referring to must also be in a bone. It's a, we call it a type of notch in a bone area. So that will explain why, if you're going to say that a chorutz, a ditch, or this notch is a mum, that's true, but it only in a bone, not in a fleshy area. Therefore, the issue of the genitals being that it's a fleshy area, that's not the Torah's intent when it renders a chorutz a blemish. Rova Omar, Beloi Shavur Nami, even without the reference to Shavur, the comparison of Chorutz to Shavur, even without that, Lo Motzis Amritz, you wouldn't have been able to say Chorutz B'mokom Bosur Havi Muma, that a Charitz in a fleshy part would be a Mum. You wouldn't be able to say that a Charitz in a fleshy part is a Mum. Why? The Salka Daitoch Chorutz B'mokom Bosor Havi Muma, if you were to think that it is a mum, well, Michti, let's look into this a bit. Kevon di Omar Mar Gorov Ze Hacheres. We know that Gorov, which is something that appears in the case of Mumin, is something that's hard. We said this above. We have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara. You see this on the upper part of the page. where you just skim above and you see a star as well. And that comment was made that Gorov is hard like Cheres. So Michrutz Choretz, it probably has a crack in it. Something that's on the body, that's on the skin, on the flesh of an animal that's hard will have a crack in it. Uksiv, and it says in the case of Negoyim are the skin afflictions, it says Umarehu Omoik Min Ha'or Kemara Chamo Ha'amuka Min Atzel. In describing the Negoyim, the Tzoras, it says it is something that appears deep. So if Chorutz B'mokom Bosar was a mum, if that would be that a crack in the fleshy part is constituted as a mum, well then, v'lichtoiv rachmona chorutz, the Torah should have written, in the case of mumin, just chorutz, v'loboi gorov, and there would be no need to write about gorov. V'amino, and I would figure, chorutz dolo mois havimuma, a mere crack that is not disgusting, is called a mum. Gorov de mois lo kol shekein, the gorov which is disgusting, all the more so. Not only is it a crack, but it's also disgusting. Therefore, kosav rachamona gorov lemeimar, the Torah writes about gorov, which is a crack that happens to also be disgusting, and that does appear in a fleshy part, to tell me the chorutz b'mokom basar lo havi muma, that a mere crack that's not disgusting in a fleshy part is not a mum. Now, in many editions of the Shas, there appears a two dots. This is according to the commentary that you see in the outside part of the Gemara, that this is not a stop. But what we do at this point is we continue reading what appears in the printer's parentheses. Rabbi Shmuel Oimer, Ein l'cha mum gadol mizeh. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, when looking at the androgynous, which has this choretz in it, which would be the characteristic, the female sign, gender sign, Rabbi Shmuel says that is a baal mum. Now, up till now, we had Abaye and Rava explaining the position of the earlier Tanaic authority, not that of Rabbi Shmuel, that said that the fact that an androgynous has this charitz in it does not make it into a mum. Rabbi Shmuel says that this does make it into a mum. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Ein l'cha mum gadol mizeh." With regard to the androgynous, it is a baal mum. Now, ke'abaye lo omar. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't subscribe to the Shitas HaRabbonon, as Abaye explained, Chorutz Dumyo Deshover Lo Amrinon. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't feel bound to restrict the Chorutz to be like the Shavur. True that the Shavur is bone-related, but as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, the Chorutz is not bone-related. So you can have this crack in a fleshy part, and it still is a mum. Kerova Nami Lo Omar. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't follow the Rava logic, which explained the Rabbanon either. Dilma hani mili hechad lo minkra. It could be that Rava svara, that the Torah would not have needed to write about Gorov if Choretz was in fact a mum. That's true if the Choretz wasn't so recognizable. Avol hecha de minkar, but if you have a deep type of crack, a deep charitz, like is the case of an androgynous, mum ra karina bay, that is a full-fledged mum. So once again, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, the logic that Rava used would have been fine with regard to a superficial type of crack, or a shallow crack. So then Rava's logic would apply, but you wouldn't be able to extend that logic to include even a deep crack, so that it would be, we can say that a deep crack that doesn't happen to be disgusting would be no less a mum than a gorov, which is a crack, maybe it's not deep, but is disgusting. The suggestion by the Girsa that we noted before would have you read over here Rabbi Shmuel again, and that Rabbi Shmuel Omer Ein L'chomum Gadol Mizeh, in referring to the androgynous. So coming off of Rabbi Shmuel, boy Rava, at the top of Omid Beis, Rava asks regarding Rabbi Shmuel, and under our Nose, our topic heading in the outside margin, we have presented this in a general form as She'elas Rava. Rava, in our Gemara, will be asking, my taima de Rabbi Shmuel de Omer Lagabi androgynous, Ein l'cha mum gadol mizeh. What is the underlying reasoning of Rabbi Shmuel, or from what position is he coming when he says you don't have a greater mum than that? So here we analyze. And the Gemara presents Rava's question in the Aleph Odoma Beis fashion. Two sides of the analysis. Mifsha pshita le, is it obvious to Rabbi Shmuel, androgynous b'chor hu umumo imo, that Rabbi Shmuel looks at androgynous as a simply as a male animal with a defect, with a blemish. In other words, there's no element of doubt. It's, once again, as far as Rabbi Shmuel says, ein l'chomum gadol mizeh, is it so that Rabbi Shmuel looks at the androgynous as something that has no element of doubt associated with it, or as Rabbeinu Gershom says, that it's poshet to Rabbi Shmuel that it's not a beria, and therefore he can call it a b'chor, which means a male animal with a blemish, oidilma, spuke misafkale, or Rabbi Shmuel is coming from a position of doubt, the imtim tzeloimar ka'omar, and his position is what we say is called imtim tzelomar, namely, the Gemara here is a little bit abbreviated, but Rabbi Shmuel's position could be that I don't really know how to classify a androgynous. Maybe it's a male, maybe it's a female. And now, coming off of that, imtim tzelomar b'chor hu, and if you say that it is a male, hare mumo imo. It's a male, but nevertheless, it has a mum. So that, as far as Rabbi Shmuel is concerned, either way, his conclusion will be that you can slaughter it. But according to the first approach, his position of being allowed to slaughter it is a position of certainty. It is a definite firstborn male, but happens to have a blemish. According to the second position, it's not a statement of it's definitely a male. Maybe it's a female. Well, that certainly would allow you to slaughter it. But even if it's a male, you're still not restricted from slaughtering it, because it's a male with a blemish. You might ask, well, what difference does it make how you analyze Rabbi Shmuel? Either way, you come out with a permission to slaughter it. The Gemara explains lamai nafkamina. What practical difference is there between these two methods of analysis, the Aleph versus the Beis? So there is a practical difference. The difference will manifest itself regarding two points. One, lemilke olei mishum gizum avoida, inami lemisva lekohen. We'll explain. Number one is lemilke olei is to receive lashing mishum gizum avoida if a person shears it or works with it. If you take the position that it is a definite firstborn male but just happens to be blemished, under such circumstances, you're not allowed to shear it nor work with it. And if one does, he becomes guilty of receiving lashes. If, however, you say that Rabbi Shmuel's position is one of doubt, maybe it's a female altogether, being that there's an element of doubt, I would not be able to punish someone who shears or works with it with lashing. You don't give punishments when the offense is a matter of doubt. Another nafgamina, inami, another point of difference would be this issue of lemisva lekoyim, means giving it to a kohen. If it's a definite firstborn male, but it just happens to have a blemish, all firstborn male animals, blemished or not, are given to kohanim. If it has no blemish, so the kohen brings it as a sacrifice in Beis HaMikdash. If it's blemished, so the kohen slaughters it and eats the meat. However, if you say that there's an element of doubt that maybe it's a female in the first place, maybe it's classified as a female, so since there's, if you take that approach, this the Bayes approach we had before, the owner would not give it to a kohen. Under such circumstances, we say Hamotzi Mechavero Levaraya would be upon the kohen, the burden of proof upon the kohen to prove that it's not a Nekeva. And since he wouldn't be able to do that, the owner is able to keep it. So at this point, the next stage of the Gemara is to analyze, to try to conclude, what is the basis of Rabbi Yishmael. Is it a basis of certainty, or is he coming, when he says the androgynous ein lecha mum gadol mizeh, is he coming from a position of certainty, or from a position of doubt? With the markings, we see triangles with colored in tips. These were explained under our Mivneh heading as Nisyonos Lahashiv al She'elas Rava. We're trying to answer Rava's question. So we continue in the Gemara Toshma. Ribeloy Omer Mishum Rabbi Shmuel. You see Rabbi Shmuel's name dashed, underlined. We want to focus on the fact that he is the opinion cited here. Androgynous Bechor Hu Umumo Imo. Well, it seems to be a clear statement on the part of Rabbi Shmuel, who says the androgynous is a firstborn male. He calls it a bechor with a blemish. Shma mino mifshat pshitole. This would be conclusive, seemingly conclusive, that Rabbi Shmuel is coming from a position of certainty that the bechor, that the androgynous is a clear male, just happens to be blemished. The Gemara, though, rejects this and says that the statement contained in this Tanaic source may be an imtim tzalomar ko'omar. It might be that Rabbi Shmuel is really, though it's abbreviated here, he's stating his position of Bechor Hu only after saying that, assuming that it's not a female. But prior to this, he is entertaining the possibility maybe it's a female. And im timtzelomar, and if you are to say that it's not a female, then bechor hu umumo imo. And that's what you see in the source. But it's really coming off the heels of Rabbi Shmuel entertaining the possibility that maybe it's a female, or according to Rabbeinu Gershom, that maybe it's a bria. Toshma. Well, we continue in our analysis of what is Rava's position. In Rava, meaning what is Rabbi Shmuel's position as Rava raises the question. So you see, with our markings, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a 2 with a descending dashed line, indicating that the Toshma, the attempt over here, is a long attempt. However, at the end of the long attempt, the Gemara will reject it. We have a Tanaic source that has no name in it. It opens up with a reference to a pasuk that deals with a korban oila, an olas bokar, and on the same line there will also be a reference to the oilas tzon. These are sacrifices, obviously not a bechor, it's a different kind of sacrifice. And the source, the Gemara continues, toshma zohar velo nekevo. A korban ola is brought only from male animals, and that's by an ola coming from cattle. You are to bring a male, velo nekeva, not a female. Kishomer lamata, when it says later, with regard to an ola sacrifice coming from sheep or goats, not, namely oilas tzoin, it says the word zohar again. So, kishomer lamata zohar she'en talmud lomar. I don't need to be told zohar again. You already told me that an ola sacrifice is to come from male animals. So why does it say zohar again? Ma Talmud Lomar, answer Lahoitzi Tumtum v'androgynous, to exclude the bringing of a Tumtum or androgynous as an Ola as well. Money. This unnamed source is according to whom? You see a series of double underlines. On the outside margin, under our Mivneh heading, we've written, these are Shlavim, stages Lahazbir Money. Mi hu ha-tana shel ha-moker. Who is the Tana of this source? Zohar Velone Keva, this source that is begins with the word Zohar Velone Keva, Ubekach Lifshal Shelas Rovin, with this, with determining who the author is, will also be able to explain or answer Rava's question. So, E Lemo, the Gemara continues, if this is Tanakama, the Tanakama of our Mishnah, Sveikahu, the androgynous is a suffix. The Asi Krol Emute Sveika, could it be that a Pasuk comes to exclude something that's a matter of doubt? This appears many places in the Shas, which this type of response is saying that in heaven, namely the Torah was given by the Almighty. The Almighty doesn't have doubts. And if the Almighty's Pasuk, if the Pasuk in the Torah is coming to exclude something, it's not coming to exclude a doubt. Doubts don't exist in Shamayim. So if you have a position that takes a position that states that an androgynous is a doubt what it is, so it's obviously that particular position is not the author of this source. So the Tanakama, the first opinion in our Mishnah that classifies androgynous as an issue of doubt, could not possibly be the author of this source. Elo, well, maybe Rabbanan Basroi. Maybe it's the final Shitas Rabbanan in our Mishnah. That position said that it's a Beria, and it can be shorn and worked with. Well, if it's the Rabbanan Basroi of our Mishnah, Mechad Kra Tepuk, you would only need one appearance of the word Zohar to exclude an androgynous. The Hagabi Bechor Chad Zohar Hu Dichtiv. Vika Mimatinon Kulhu Minei. In the case of Bechor, which was the topic of our Mishnah, in which Rabbanan Basroi, the latter of Rabbanan Ashita, appeared, who excluded androgynous in a definitive way. He said you could actually work with it and shear it. In the case of Bechor, the word Zohar appears only once, and that was enough to exclude an androgynous. The source we just had doesn't exclude androgynous until a second reference is made to Zohar, as we read in the source. So the source doesn't reflect the position of Rabbanan Basroi either. Elo Pshita Rabbi Shmuel, we almost out of default will have to say that the source above is in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel. Well, that's stage one, so to speak, that we now know the source is according to Rabbi Shmuel. The Iamris Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel Mifshab Pshitolei. And if you say that Rabbi Shmuel's position is like the, we call the Aleph approach taken on the top line, stating that Rabbi Shmuel is coming from a position of certainty, Hainu de Itzdurich Krolimute. I therefore will need a pasuk to exclude, in the case of the Korban Oila, I need a pasuk to exclude something that is definitely, has a definite classification. Now, according to this, so then Rabbi Shmuel had a definite classification of an androgynous as being a definite male with a blemish. So the Torah says, don't bring that as a korban. Elo, e amris misafkale, if, however, you explain Rabbi Shmuel like the Bay's approach above, that the androgynous is really an element, there's an element of doubt as to what it is. So once again, as we saw a little earlier, it's derecha lamute sveka, would you say that a posuk is coming to exclude something that's a matter of doubt? Psukim, as originating with the Almighty, aren't coming to exclude doubts. The Almighty has no doubts. Therefore, at this point in the Gemara, we would be supporting the Aleph approach taken above in explaining Rabbi Shmuel, that it's an obvious, an androgynous is an obvious bechor, it's an obvious for male, it just happens to have a mum, and as we saw before, the nafkaminas will be in place, the nafkamina of Malkus and of giving it to a kohen. The Gemara, though, rejects Li'olam Rabbonan Basroi. This source that has the word Zohar appearing in it twice, the source dealing with the Olas Bokar and the Olas Son, where Zohar appears two times and only after the second time are we able to exclude an androgynous, is according to them, not Rabbi Shmuel. V'gabi Bechor, Tarti Kroi Ksiv. And it just so happens that with regard to Bechor also, not like we thought above, that Bechor has only one Zohar in it. No. Bechor also is a Parsha in the Torah. In this case, it's split between Sefer Dvarim and Sefer Shmois. And the word Zohar appears twice as well. It's Tarti Kroi Ksiv. HaZohar v'HaZohorim. The word HaZohar appears in Dvarim Perek Tes Vav Posuk Yud Tes, and the word HaZohorim appears in Shmois Perek Yud Gimel Posuk Yud Beis. So that you see, just like the source that dealt with the Korban Oilah, which excluded androgynous, but only after Zohar appears twice, that is very similar to the case of the Bechor, where we exclude an androgynous, and there too, the word Zohar appears twice. V'chachomim oimrim eino b'chor v'chulei. Omer afchista, machlokes bandroginis. We see in our Mishnah of the machlokes tanoim about how to deal with the mentioned animal, but that's only with regard to the androginis. Avo betumtum, Divrei Hakol Sveika Hu, the Kodosh Misveikas. However, with regard to the Tumtum, which is an animal whose genitals are covered, that animal is an issue. There is doubt concerning it. Everyone will agree that there's doubt concerning it, and as a result of that, it will have sanctity from the standpoint, from the element of doubt, and that it may be it's a male animal. Omale Rova Elomeato Be'erichin Ye Orech. If there is an element of doubt, namely, maybe it's a male, maybe it's a female. So in the parsha of the Torah that deals with Erichin, Erichin is a case where a human being dedicates his value. Value, not market value, but a Torah established value based on gender and based on age. So if you are telling me that a tumtum is either a zohar or an akeva, well, the Torah in the parsha dealing with erechin deals with the erech of a male and of a female. So there should be one who is a tumtum and makes his Torah value dedication should be bound. It's at the very top line of Mem Bey's Omen Aleph, Aloma Tanya, so why is it taught in the following source, HaZohar. This is a word from the Torah in the Parsha of Erechin, and we learn from this, V'loi Tumtum V'Androgynous, to the exclusion of a Tumtum, as well as an Androgynous. So the Tumtum is excluded along with the Androgynous, thereby giving us the impression that the Tumtum is no different than the Androgynous. And just like the androgynous is something concerning which there is a machloikis, being that it's possibly a beria b'fnei atzma, so too the tumtum might very well be, would appear to be the same thing. And then I can understand why there's no erech. So this source that views the tumtum as similar, as it views the androgynous, in other words, halachically similar, they're different creatures, they're different phenomenon, but legally they seem to be treated the same, would represent a kasha on Rav Chisda, because Rav Chisda claims that the tumtum everyone holds is either a male or a female. Well, the Gemara answers for Rav Chisda and says, Sami Mikan Tumtum. Just eliminate from this source the reference to Tumtum. As you can see, the Gemara goes on with a series of continued triangles. All of these are brought basically to show that the Tumtum is categorized alongside the Androgynous, representing a problem for Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda made a distinction between the Tumtum and the Androgynous, saying that only with regard to the Androgynous is there any controversy. But as far as the Tumtum, everyone would agree it's a suffix. Suffix meaning a doubt, either male or female. These sources, as we said, that the Gemara will feature, will present a problem for Rav Chisda's position. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.